Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CL Educate Q2 and H1 FY20 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Sathyanarayanan R, Chairman and Executive Director, CL Educate Limited; Mr. Nikhil Mahajan, Executive Director and Group CEO, Enterprise Business from CL Educate Limited; and Mr. Arjun Wadhwa, CFO from CL Educate Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arjun Wadhwa. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Ed. This is Arjun here. I'm joined on this call by Sathya and Nikhil. I'm going to get right into the presentation and move quickly to slide number six. We'll open our remarks from here. I hope everyone's had a chance to download the presentation, and I'll just pause for a few seconds for you to join me on that slide. The slide is titled H1 Consolidated Financial Results: A Brief Snapshot. Okay, jumping right in, I'm delighted to share that the total enrollments for us on a year-on-year comparison have grown 43%, up from about 46,000 same time last year to about 66,000 so far this year. The bulk of this jump is on account of growth in our online business. A lot of these enrollments would be either in the digital or in the sachet space, and we'll spend a lot more time on this when we come to cover our consumer business segment. You'll notice that this number does not as yet reflect in a significant movement in the revenue from operations. That's largely on account of the small ticket size of these enrollments, and we should see future benefits coming from this in the months and years ahead. Focusing on some of the other details in terms of a brief snapshot, our adjusted EBITDA has grown 36%, and I'll spend more time explaining how this figure has been calculated a couple of slides later. We've moved from about 21 crore September 2018 to a shade under 28.5 crore so far this year. If I just look at the pure EBITDA figures that we've quoted, it's a movement from 24 to 25.26. That's a 5.3% growth. But I'll explain a couple of slides down the line what the adjusted EBITDA is and how we've come to this value. The slight dip in our revenue from operations has also resulted in a change in our net profit compared to last year. It's down 12%. Some of this is on account of the change in the revenue from operations. And if you join me on the next slide, slide number seven, you'll also notice that our other income is down from 6 crores to 4.86 crores. So the difference in the PAT from continued operations is largely on account of 1 crore from the revenue from operations and a little over a crore from the other income. You'll also notice that our total expenses are virtually the same as they were last year. So hence, the EBITDA figures is predominantly reflected based on the change in revenue and the other income. As shared in the last slide, the EBITDA itself has grown 5.3%, while the adjusted EBITDA has grown 36%. Quickly covering how we came to that figure, the next slide, slide number eight, if you'll join me on. If I just take the EBITDA figures as they are, they were 25 for this year versus 24 for last year. You would remember that in our last call also, we spoke about the impact of Ind AS 115 on our business, especially in the publishing business, which is reflected across two of our organizations, CL Media and GK Publications. We had shared last time as well that the entire impact of Ind AS 115 was taken in the fourth quarter last year, which makes a quarter-to-quarter comparison a little bit of apples to oranges. Hence, we have calculated this adjusted EBITDA figure for you to enable you to be able to compare the two numbers. So the impact of Ind AS 115 was about 0.5 crore. We add that back. This year we've taken a vocational write-off of 2.75 crores in the first half of the year, 1.75 in Q1 and another 1 crore in Q2. At the same time last year, we had taken a vocational write-off of 1.2 crore. So that explains partially what was the dip in the revenue figures that we showed in the previous slide, and hence it also gets reflected in the EBITDA, and hence the reason for giving you an adjusted EBITDA figure. Last year we had also received a one-time revenue from our Science Parivar business in Mumbai, which was about 1.2 crore in the first half of the year, and there would be a corresponding figure for the second half of the year as well. The one-time revenue finished off in April of this year, so hence that figure will not be there going forward. So hence we've netted off that 1.2 from last year's EBITDA to be able to give you a clear business comparison of what the numbers are. Also, last year's other income that I'd shared with you on the previous slide as 6 crores included liabilities which were written off of to the tune of 3 crores, which was again, as I shared, a one-time thing. So hence the comparable figure for last year in terms of EBITDA, if I look at it purely from a business perspective, would be about 21 crore. And since there's no liability being written off this year and hence the other income is a pure number, the adjusted EBITDA on a comparative basis is 28.5 this year. Hope I've clarified that, and if you have any more questions on this, we can take it up after the call. This is a quick snapshot of where we are from a segmental perspective. As I shared previously, our total revenues this year from operations are 188 crore against 189 last year, flat. The consumer business has contributed 125 crore out of that, out of the 187 of this year. The test prep portion of that is 106 versus 106 last year. The dip that you see has come on account of the publishing business, which is down 4 crore, and that is again largely on account of the impact of Ind AS 115, though there has also been a slight slowdown in this business. Nikhil will cover this in more detail when we come to the second half, the third part, sorry, of the presentation. The enterprise business is also quite flattish. Our enterprise business is broken up into two parts. The work we do with corporates, which some of you would know would come under our Keystone brand, and the work we do directly with institutions, which is colleges, universities, etc. So those numbers are also there on the slide in front of you. That we will spend more time on these numbers in Nikhil's part of the presentation. I now move over to the operational side of things, and I'll hand over to Satya to take you through slide number 12, which is our consumer operating metrics, and then our consumer business.
Hi everybody. Thanks, Arjun. This is Satya. Arjun mentioned about the noticeable jump in the enrollments. Without getting overexcited, it is also important for us to acknowledge that the transitioning from a pure offline to an online has been a very continuous process at CL over the last few years, and we have gone deeper into that by doing a whole lot of reorganizing the products, programs, and the productization into very small sachets. And that's what is the good news over the first 6 months of this year, wherein programs such as civil services, GATE, and even MBA, they have seen excellent momentum. from an initiative to productization to go-to-market and consumer traction. These are going to be low-value and high-EBITDA businesses, and that is what I had indicated even in the last call, that when we go more and more digitized, all the revenues accrue to us directly, with EBITDA being high, volumes being high, but the ticket size being low. That would be the biggest highlight on this slide. I now move to the next slide, which says key highlight, digital and sachet business powering growth. This is what is the script that I was sharing a minute ago while in the previous slide. And to be very specific, Gate, which is about a 600,000 student market, IceGate, which is our acquisition a couple of years ago, which is getting integrated into CL, we launched GateFlix as a digital sachetized variant, and they have sold about 14,000 products. Our AI ML internships, which we launched in partnership with AICTE and Intel, that has seen tremendous traction, and even our sachet products in our flagship MBA and civil services, they also have shown four-figure volumes in this quarter. The challenge is going to be or continues to be the MBA numbers for us to improve our revenue growth, and law also can do a little better, which currently is suffering from increased localized competition offline. And that is something that we are working upon on the MBA on the law front. IPM, most of you would know, is something, it's the integrated 5-year program in management offered by IIM Indore and IIM Rohtak. This will have more institutions coming into the fold of offering IPM, and CL has established a very clear leadership. There are no players who have shown interest in this segment. This is doing year-on-year comparison. This is doing a 3x in terms of volume numbers, but it's a small segment. This could emerge as significant as the law and bolster the MBA basket over the next couple of years. Publishing is the next slide. I'll hand it over to Nikhil to take us through the next couple of slides.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let me start with the publishing business. We are on slide number 14. As Arjun had shared, we have seen about an 18% fall in revenue as compared to last year, and that is driven predominantly by two core factors. One, yes, there is a slight slowdown in the market in terms the way the market is absorbing and the throughput of the market in terms of book movement. The other aspect is also that there is a significant change in terms of the way revenue has been accounted for under the new accounting standard. So strictly speaking, the H1 numbers of FY20 and FY19 are not comparable. Number two, Gate, which was the flagship product for in terms of the book sales, in the last 5 years has seen a gradual dip from about close to 1 million test takers to around 650,000 test takers. And this gradual reduction in number of test takers for Gate has also seen a slight downward absorption of the books of GATE, which used to account for close to about 33 to 35% of our total books. Our core focus has been on two things. One, reduce the inventory which we are holding. Number two, improve the payment cycle. This is an industry where the average debtor cycle is close to 8 to 9 months. And in the current circumstances, that has got even further extended. So at the current time, we are focusing on a faster collection cycle by deliberately reducing the stock we are pushing into the market so that the turnaround of stock in the market and hence the cash is much faster. Now let me move to the enterprise business. I am going to slide 16. As you know, one of our biggest properties for our institutional and corporate engagement goes by the name Melting Pot. We had done the first event of this year in Bangalore in the month of January, and we launched our first event in the U.S. market in Silicon Valley in October 2019. The Silicon Valley event was an extremely positive event with over 80 participants from corporate, academia, and startup community. And we have seen a reasonable positive interest in terms of what we are offering across all three segments. Coming to the overall business on the operating side, you will see the business in terms of revenue has been more or less flat. The corporate revenue is more or less absolutely flat, while institutional revenue has seen a slight dip. Let me add one point in terms of the institutional business here, where we see a slight dip of about 75-80 lakhs. One of the core reasons for that is last year we had a business from one of our partners in terms of media releases for a select activity, which was a long-term activity. However, this year we have chosen to deliberately not get into that line because the payment cycle in that line of business was slightly delayed and affected our working capital. So, apple-to-apple comparison, that media release last year was about 2.5 CR, which we have chosen not to do this year. So net of that, we will see that the business this year in H1 has still grown by about 12-13%. We are sitting on a pretty healthy pipeline from institutional business in terms of the marketing services, the go-to-market, and student engagement, and I see extremely positive H2, which we are likely to see. On the organizational update, I'll get back. I will hand over to Arjun again. He will update you on the next slide.
Thanks, Nikhil. Just briefly on the merger, I'll actually go one slide down and then I'll come back to this slide. Slide number 20 shows you what we will look like post the merger. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time or who have not been following our merger updates previously, basically CL Educate has a set of wholly owned subsidiaries. Five of those are listed on this slide here. All of these are merging into the parent entity. And this process has gone through the necessary approvals from the stock exchanges, and post that has now moved, if I go back to the previous slide, slide number 19, has now moved to the NCLT stage. Our filing with the NCLT happened earlier this year, and we had our first hearing on that matter on 15th October. Our second hearing is scheduled today. And later today, we'll have an update on this. As far as things go, just very briefly, The merger is on track. We're expecting to get a date for our shareholder meeting sometime around January, and we hope to complete the merger process by May or June of 2020. The merger's effective date or the date will be 1st April 2019. So that's the update on the merger for now. If you have any more questions on this, I can take them up later on after we're done with the presentation. I'll now hand back over to Satya to talk about the second point on the organization updates, the Wayne Fund.
Thank you once again, Arjun. So, this one is in many ways continuation of what we actually have done over the last 15 years, wherein CL has constantly been looking at young startups in the space of education, edtech, integrated them into CL as an entity, and grown from one product, one city company to multiple products and multiple cities, multiple geographies company. So this one at the IPO is continued because as part of the SEBI guidelines, we need to set aside some money for inorganic. So that continued. Now we have come to a point post our recent investments in companies like IceGate and so on, where we are having to create this fund or a pool, which we are intending to do with one slight additional new initiative, which is coming from Wayne Connect. And as you know, Wayne Connect is finding traction with young startups, entrepreneurs, universities, and corporates. And you can go and look up the website. There are about 75,000 innovators on the platform. We have been able to get about $4 million of projects funding from corporates, which has been diverted into innovation projects inside universities. There have been 33 corporates, which have corporates, funds, etc., that have put out many challenges here that gets us revenue for Wayne Connect. And then there are independent funds both in India and US who are our partners of Wayne, who look at the startups that come out of this as their own pipeline. So, and the 200 in this slide refers to the sigma of our university and corporate partners on the platform. Now, I'm now going to slide number 21. Which talks about how does this operate. Right now, if you look at the front side of the slide, which is titled the three-stage value prop of Wayne Fund, we already have WayneConnect.com as a platform, which is part of our institutional product portfolio. And what we are adding are the layers 2 and 3 in the next calendar year, beginning Melting Pot 2020 in Bangalore, wherein while we have been shortlisting startups from various universities and giving them awards and directing them to funds until last year, we now intend to bring them into a one-year accelerator program called the Wayne Accelerator Program, wherein we will do coaching and mentoring for them as a platform. And we will take a cohort of 25 to 30. And a small part of the money that we are putting aside from our yearly profits, we intend to give as small incubation capital to select startups that we choose from this. It could be anywhere between 5-7 lakhs to 20-30 lakhs. And we will try and have a very strong bias for those startups which have relevance to us, which is EdTech for Career Launcher and which is Enterprise SaaS for Keystone. That is what is something that we are adding. It is almost like if you're thinking of a funnel which has got four stages. Three stages were live. Research was live. Innovation was live. Startup curation was live. We are adding the fourth layer called a little bit of an incubation capital, a small amount which we will bring from CL's profits as a wage fund, and we will have other universities participate, universities and corporates participating in this, and we have had interest from a few of them. We'll keep you updated as we move along. An update on this in the form of a press release also would have gone up by now on the site. You can go and look that up. Any more questions that you have, we'll be happy to answer on this. The link where the press release is live is shown on this presentation on slide number, I think, 19. Okay? That's what is about this Wayne Fund initiative. I'll hand it back to Arjun to take us to the next stage of the call.
Thanks again, Satya. We'll move straight away into the Q&A side of things. Zed, if you could line up any questions that have been received at your end. I also see on the website that a few people have texted in some of their questions. Let me start with those, Zed, before, while you line up people who want to ask a few specific questions.
Sure. Before you proceed with taking the questions from the website, ladies and gentlemen, we will begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Sir, you may proceed with the questions from the web while the questions on the audio call assemble.
Thanks, Ed. There's a question from Anil Bakshi from Fairval Capital. I'll read out the question here for everyone's benefit. It's, our vocational business receivable has reduced by less than 2 crores. What is the recovery expected in the next couple of quarters? And what do you expect happening in this business in the quarters ahead? Very quickly, for those of you who followed our vocational business over the last few years, we had an outstanding receivable of about 50 crores a couple of years ago. That number is now down to a net outstanding of about 21.8 CR from the government. This is after taking into account an ECL provision of 3.5 crores. We have already taken a write-off of 2.75 so far this year, as I shared previously, and as we've shared continuously over our investor calls in the past, we're looking to either collect all the money that is due or take relevant write-offs by September 2020. So over the next 4 quarters, this 21.8 crores will be virtually negligible. We're expecting portions of that to come in Q3 and Q4. That which doesn't will hopefully come in by Q1 and Q2, and we'll take the necessary write-offs in the meantime. We've taken 2.75 so far this year, and we'll continue to do necessary provisions over the months ahead. There's a second question from Mr. Bakshi. There is an 8% drop in your employee expenses. How have you achieved that, and what are the other items? What are the items in other expenses which have gone up? The 8% drop in employee expenses, as you rightly pointed out, sir, this is largely on account of rationalization of resources, on account of businesses that we acquired over the last 2 years. That includes the Eaton business that we bought from Pearson and the acqui-hire we did from Vistamind. So the dip is largely on account of rationalization of manpower, where 2 people were not required largely to do one specific role. While we have done this, we have stayed true to our requirement of continuing to add people on the sales and business development side to ensure that business gets the necessary muscle to continue to grow. There has also been a dip in the employee expenses on account of franchising out a few of our company-owned centers in the last couple of, in around the same time last year. What are the items in other expenses that have gone up? Largely, the bulk of that would be the franchise expenses, which have gone up by about 4 crores. And actually, that is explainable by what I just said previously. The centers that we chose to franchise out, that has resulted in a greater share going out in the form of franchisee payments. Okay, I'll move on to the next question. Rahul Agarwal has asked, what is the total cash which the company has on September 19 across mutual fund investments, fixed deposits and banks, and how has this moved in comparison with March 19? How much do you specifically have in mutual funds? Our mutual fund balance as on date is 43.69. You can find that figure on our consolidated balance sheet. Yeah, 43.69 crores. My apologies. Thanks, Nikhil. The relative comparative figure for same time last year was about 36 crores, and for March 19 was about 27.5 crores. Our total cash in hand is about 78 crores as compared to 64 crores in March. And, you know, again, the comparison for same time last year was about 69 crores, give or take some change. I'll just go back and see if there are any more questions. Given there's a question from M. Krishnan. You have announced an acquisition in Muscat. What is the long-term thought behind this? Can you also talk a little bit about how your foreign businesses are doing? I'll hand back over to Nikhil for this.
Let me first give you a broader picture. Our international business comprises of three components. One, the corporate business based out of Singapore. We have our test prep and training business based out of Dubai, and our U.S. international business, which we kicked off earlier this year. As of now, last year, the total international business was around close to over $2.2 million. And our first milestone to take that business from 2.2 is to take it as close to $5 million in a shorter framework of time. To achieve that, there have been a multiple steps. Our Singapore business has been growing significantly well. Middle East, we have added a couple of locations, and it was in that context. We now have 6 operational centers in Middle East, most all of them in UAE. We are looking at getting into the other geographies, into Middle East like Oman, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and which have a significant need and requirement of the courses which we offer. It was in this context we had been in talks with an educational training company which has been operating in Muscat, Oman for the last 8-9 years in the area of fin product training like CFA, CMA, diploma in IFRS and associated products. In the Indian market also, we have been contemplating, we had launched our own fin school and data school about 6 months ago, and partnership and alignment of interest, bringing their very, very solid product, which they have been successfully running for close to eight years in that market, and the teachers are of high international repute, and also partnering with them to take our education products into Oman. We chose that partnership was the best way, and that was the reason of making this investment and acquisition. And I think our international business, as it is stated today, is going to be one of our core precursors and drivers in the next couple of years in ramping up our faster growth. hand it back to Arjun for any other queries.
Thanks, Nikhil. Zed,
yes,
if you have anyone waiting on in the queue.
From the line of Amit Chitnis from Banyan Tree Capital, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks a lot for your detailed presentation. I just have a couple of questions. First of all, with respect to the business transfer agreement between Clip and iTech Care. So at this point, I believe it is still pending. Could you please throw some light on how much do they owe us?
Theoretically, they don't owe us anything for the simple reason because the amount we had agreed into a business transfer agreement as a part of asset sale, iTech Care could not complete their leg because they had some funding issues. And so we have formally not yet terminated the agreement, but it's as good as terminated. At this stage, so theoretically there is nothing receivable or owed on that account from them. Just an update on that, we are currently in specific discussions with two other parties who are real estate players, school players. And however, as you might be aware in such discussions, till we reach a reasonably conclusive stage, we don't have anything specific which we can share at this stage. As and when something concrete is agreed upon, we'll get back and share it in public domain.
Okay, thank you, sir. I just have one more question. Could you tell us if you're taking advantage of the new tax rates?
Yeah, hi, Amit. Arjun here back again. We're in the process of evaluating that. The current tax rate that we're on is 27 and the new tax rate is 25. So the benefit available there is about 2%. But we have MAT credit sitting on in our books of CL Media to the account of 3.6 CR. So in all likelihood, we will use that this year when the merger comes through, and we will take advantage of the new tax rates in the next financial year. But we will be in that is the plan of action at this point in time, but we will evaluate that as we come closer to the end of the year and we have a clear picture in terms of where we are in terms of the merger as well.
Okay, and one last question if I can squeeze in. Could you let us know what was the latest profit earned by ICMA? I believe it has been in business since last 8 to 9 years, which we saw in the note.
See, they follow a calendar year accounting, so their last audited accounts were for calendar year 18, wherein they had done a revenue of close to about $425,000, and they had reported a profit of $48,000. Okay?
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Okay, thanks, Amit.
Thank you.
Zed, is there anyone else?
No, sir. No one in queue.
All right. So thank you so much for your time, Zed, and thank you everyone for joining our call today. We continue to be available at the email addresses and phone numbers provided in our deck. And should you feel free to, please feel free to, send us any queries you might have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wadhwa. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of CL Educate Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.